Oh, praise the Lord. They're coming. They're still coming from near and far. Hallelujah. Well, it's wonderful to be here with you this morning. How many were here last night? Okay, wow. How many were not here last night? Okay, good. How many were here but you weren't sure if you were here? Hey. Wow, we're going to have a good time today. Last night was incredible. I didn't want to stop. It's just wonderful. Praise Jesus. Well, this morning, I kind of felt like to teach a little bit on creating worlds. And we're just going to kind of engage in some of these things. I'm going to talk a little bit and really teach a little bit about what we were doing actually last night. Because words are actually material. You may not be able to see them with your three-dimensional eye, but words actually have substance on them. And when God gets on your word, or his word gets on your word, it will change your word. And it'll change your world. And so it doesn't really matter what is the matter with you, because God will change your matter and make it something different. So all you have to do is put it in a word, and his word will get on it, and it'll shift your world. Now, there are three dimensions, actually, to the word of God. There are what people call the milk of the word. And the Bible says that when you drink the milk, you're going to grow. Some people never get past that stage for some reason. They're always drinking the milk, right? Well, there's nothing wrong with the milk. Let me bring it back a little bit. Because some of you are thinking that I'm talking about the Bible. And I am talking about the Bible a little bit. But actually, when Paul and Peter and the disciples were talking about the word of God, they were not talking about that Bible. Because they would have made a distinction, because Peter even says the scriptures were penned by holy men who were moved on by the Spirit. So there is a difference, a distinction between the written scripture and what Peter, James, and John, and Paul say is the word of God. Now, there's two Greek words, we both know them, they're rhema and logos. Most people think that the logos is this Bible right here, because they would translate it to be the written word. But actually, what the logos is just the mind of God and the blueprint of heaven. So it's a spiritual dimension. And so what God will do is he will take the blueprint of heaven and he will cause it to manifest down on the earth so that you can begin to frame up or build the world that you see in the heavenly realm and cause it to materialize down here. So you can live in the milk of the word, and that's fine, where, you know, you're constantly being fed and you're growing. Then there's a second dimension that's called the meat of the word. The meat, the Bible said, for those that are strong, that are able to discern, and they are able to eat that word. They're able to eat the meat, or the strong portion of the supernatural. But then there's a third dimension. It's what we call the mystery of the word. And the mystery is reserved for the sons. Now, the old covenant had secrets. There was no mysteries in the old covenant. You'll never find the word mystery. In the new covenant, you find the word mystery, which is the word mysterion, which means something hidden or covered. The Bible says that when you speak in other tongues, you speak mysteries or mysterion, a language that is not deciphered in the natural realm, but is decoded in the spirit. So when you begin to speak in another language, Paul said, I speak with the tongues of men, I speak with the tongues of angels, and I speak directly to God. You actually begin to see the very words that come out of your mouth as light. So it's not just like we're praying in tongues. We think that like they had flames over their head, like... Actually, what was taking place was that there was light coming out of their being. And the only way that they could translate it as was fire. But really, it was more like radiation. It was more like a light beam coming out of them. Parobasa. And so the Word of God becomes actually spiritual genes that can reformat your body. You know, genes are biological seeds that give life in the natural. But the Word has supernatural genes connected to it. So that when you eat of that, it will even sustain your physical body. That's why when you read about Moses, the Bible says that he was on the mountain of God for 40 days. And he did not eat or drink. He didn't eat or drink anything. He was supernaturally sustained by the Word. Ooh. Jesus did the same thing. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. And Satan came to him and said, change these stones into bread. In other words, change the physical matter, material of these stones. Reprogram that matter and make it into some other substance. Because when you have the Word, you have the ability to reprogram matter. And Jesus said, you don't understand. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, say word. Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, the rhema, the spoken word. Every word that's in that realm, I'm feeding on and I'm eating on it. So that's how I'm sustained. I don't even need your bread because I'm physically sustained through a higher dimension. As long as you live in this dimension and you believe that you need this dimension to physically sustain your body, you will always live at a lower frequency and you will never live above, you will live under. Adam was never created to live under. He was always created to live above or over and have dominion over all of it. That's why time is something that you were called to have dominion over. Time was something that was created, and God said, every created dimension I have given to man to have dominion over. That's why the Bible says that you have the ability to redeem time. That means you can take it back, and restore even your physical existence. So that you're not you are not subject to a dimension of time, but you can move in and outside of the timeline. You can go to the past, you can go to the future, and you can bring the two into the present. Let me say it again. You can go to the past, you can go to the future, and you can pull it into the present. That's what Moses did. Moses was on the mountain of God for 40 days, 40 nights, and he went in and began to engage in such a dimension that God said, I'm going to show you the beginning of what you think is existence. And he brings him to Genesis 1:1. He says, in the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And he saw it with his physical eyes. Then, in the same moment, God takes him all the way to the future, where he's looking into the promised land, but God says, you're not going to be able to go in there, and you're going to leave the earth, and tells him when he's going to pass away before it ever even happens. We could have said that he was a false prophet if it didn't happen that way. But he knew so far in the future that it didn't matter that he was leaving at that point, because he realized he was coming back. In the same moment, he went on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Christ. Oh, my goodness. And he brought all of that back into that present moment and pinned it all down. And framed it. Say frame. He framed it up. The Bible says in John 6:63, it says that the spirit, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh or the natural realm profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word quickening means to inject into a dead or dying situation. It's the spirit that quickens something that was dead. The flesh can change nothing. The spirit has the ability through the word, because the word is a spirit, and that spirit has life on it, to change the very physical matter and material of the natural realm to look and imitate the supernatural dimension that you can't see with your eye. So God, what he does is Jesus specializes in erasing false documents. So the reality may be that you have a fused spine and you can't bend. But the truth is that in the realm of the spirit, you have a new spine, so you can bend. So truth is of a higher reality than fact. Just letting this sink in this morning. Because you can live in a fact dimension, or you can live in the truth. And the truth is a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty brings you into freedom, so that you go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. See, the anointing is an earthly dimension, and it gets results. But we are not an anointing generation. We are a glory generation. And the glory moves in dimensions. That's why the Bible says, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. This is getting good now. So perception may appear as ultimate reality, but it's not necessarily the ultimate truth. ultimate truth is what is in the realm of the spirit. So your body actually can regenerate. In fact, scientists say that every 7 years you become a new person. Every 7 weeks, even your skin cells change. Scientists actually don't understand why humans die. They can't figure it out. Because really, there should be no limitation on the physical existence. That's why Jesus could come back, because death had no hold on him. Because he was the Word. That was good. Hallelujah. So I wanted you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, because this is kind of what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about changing worlds. We're talking about changing worlds. Because you can live in any world that you want. Or you can frame up a new world. A whole new world. Point of view. I got a 4-year-old daughter, so I get to hear all these songs. The only ones we're not allowed to listen to are the ones from Frozen, because I've heard them so many times. Let it go, let it go. I'm like, yes, please, Lord. Let it go. Let it go back to where it came from. Hallelujah. I'm just kidding. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, I want you to circle that word worlds right there, were framed. Circle that word framed. By the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, many people believe that Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Hebrews. We could kind of speculate who did it, but it's more than likely it was Paul, because he understood even the Hebrew culture. He understood, because he came from the school of Gamaliel, and many people believe that Jesus and both Paul would have been classmates almost. They would have been in similar schools, rabbinical schools, and they would have known each other. They would have seen each other. They would have had maybe a discussion once or twice. Everyone knew who Jesus was, because Jesus was, you know, that wild rabbi that believed that he was the Son of God. But Paul went to a school of Gamaliel, which was the highest intellectual learning school of, you know, rabbinical teaching and understanding. And he also understood that both the Hebrew language and the Greek language, where the English language has 6,000 words, the Greek language has 12,000. So if you're saying, well, brother, I'm from the South, so we got these guys that are like, well, brother, all we got is a King James Bible. That's all we need. Gotta get on the King James Version. That's the Holy Ghost. That's that. God can't speak through anything else. You know, because you got many different versions. You got the King James Version. You got the Amplified Version. You got the NIV translation, the not inspired version. You got a lot of different translations out there. But you have people that say, well, brother, you just got to be careful about that, you know. But you can't just read your Bible, okay? If we're going to talk about the Bible, you can't just read it. You have to actually get into the Bible because there's dimensions inside of it even. Because like you take a word like love, and there's one English word for love, but there's six for the Greek. So which kind of love are we talking about? Well, brother, I love you. Well, what kind of love are you talking about, you know? Amen? How deep are you going? But Paul here, and really the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that these scriptures, this word was penned down by holy men who were moved on by the Spirit. He wanted to bring you into this. Because that word worlds right there could have been translated as cosmos, which would have meant universe. And that would make sense because Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 talks about how the worlds or the heavens and the earth were framed up by the word of God. God started speaking them and they came into being. And that would have made sense. But that's not the word that he used here. He used a word called ions or eons. Ions. Say ions. Which means age or successive period or moment in time. It actually means, and I want you to write this down, it means the world system with respect to its social, economical, governmental, and material structures in a period in human history. He could have said the cosmos was created and framed up by the rhema or the spoken word of God so that the things which we see were not made of things in this dimension but in another dimension. And that would have been correct. But he said, no. That's not what I want to say. What I want to say is that every structure that was formed and fashioned throughout the ages and successive periods in human history, every single age was framed up and spoken into existence by a living organism called the Word of God. You know what I call the glory? I call the glory liquid Jesus. So in every successive age, no matter what age it was, every single age was framed and fashioned, every structure, no matter what it was. Whether it was a social structure, an economical structure, a governmental structure, or even material structure, it was framed and brought into existence by a word. So that it didn't matter what the word was, it was structured and set into place by the word. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that the whole entire world that you see is being held together by the word of God. And even scientists say that when you go down to into the molecular structure of the atom, that at the core of the atom is congealed light. So when God said, let there be light, he was not speaking the sun and the moon and the stars that are outside, because that's natural light. He wasn't talking about artificial light like we have in the ceiling. He was talking about creative light, which is framed up by the word of God. And that congealed light is actually Christ. And that's why the Bible says in John chapter 1 that within every person is that light. Time to turn on that light. So in other words, within every single new creation, there has a light. There is a light that responds to that light. So that this light has to reflect that light because it bears witness that you are a part of that light. So that your world, both social, economical, governmental, financial, material, has to reflect the image of the invisible God. So that no matter what your world looks like today, when you get into His Word and His Word gets into you, you suddenly take on that Word and you embody that Word and your world begins to look like that Word. So if you say, well, I'm depressed. I feel depressed today. Now you're living in the wrong world. Because in His world, there isn't any depression. There's only joy. And so His Word gets on that Word and that becomes your reality. You say, well, I'm sick right now. I have a disease. Oh, man, I feel it this morning. Sickness does not exist in that light. So sickness isn't a word that exists in that realm. Only health and healing exist in that realm. So the word health and healing become your world as His Word gets on it. Let me read this translation for you. Ooh. To the end that not out of things which are appearing should we hold their existence or have come into existence. Nor did they evolve out of existing matter. Now, there are four different types of matter. There are solids, liquids, plasmas, and gases. Four, that's what scientists say. And then there's a fifth one they say is dark matter. They don't know what that is. It's not that it's evil, it's just they don't know what it is. So they just say this is dark, it's a mystery to us. We don't know. But when God's Word gets on those matters, they will change. So that water may seem to be water, but when God's Word gets a hold of water, it will change to wine. When His matter gets on loaves and fishes, they can't remain two loaves, five fishes. They can't remain that anymore. They have to multiply because in that dimension, there is no limitation. You never run out in that word realm because it just keeps re-energizing and reforming. So if it runs out, you're living in a natural dimension because in the higher realm, there is never any lack. Lack does not even come into existence in that realm because there is no word for lack. There is only a word for abundance, and God has abundance. And in that realm, there is a word, and the only word that exists is abundance. And so God, when you live in that dimension of His Word, it just keeps multiplying. Recently, I was in South Africa, And there was a, we do these things called glory economics. Glory economics is where your bank account seems to be low. God says, there's no lack in my glory. He says, there's only abundance in my glory. There's only abundance in my glory. There's, say abundance. There's only abundance in his glory. So I just, I had people hold up their credit cards in the meeting, like their cards, you know, their bank cards, their phones, because they had the ability to check their phones, like in the meeting, for how much money they had. So I said, okay, everyone check. So they checked. And I said, now, I said, we're in this realm of his word. And where his word is, there's no lack. There's only abundance. So I said, we're just release that right now. And I said, now check it again. And so you had people's accounts going from zero to 7,000 in the matter of a moment, because in the realm of the spirit, there is no lack. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning, because where God wants to take you in your world, there is no lack. And so you say to yourself, well, if I had this or I had that, if I was able to, I would do this, God, if I had the ability to do that, but I'm not set up that way, and I'll just wait until it happens. But in his world, when he comes into your world, he shifts you out of that dimension, and he says, it doesn't matter if it doesn't exist, because I can create that matter out of nothing. Or he can take existing matter and take it out. That's how weight loss miracles happen. He's just subtracting. I was in New Zealand this, I think in July, and there was a woman, I don't know, is she here this morning? The woman that was in the meeting in New Zealand? She was in Sydney. I didn't know if she made it to the meetings here yet. The Gold Coast, yeah. Okay. Okay, so you know the lady. Yeah, and you guys, so where are those, you guys know that. Were you in that meeting? When I said she had this big boot on her foot. And I said, God's going to take you back before the accident. So not as he's not going to heal you in the present moment. He's going to time travel. It's a time travel miracle. He's going to bring you back before it happened. And so she's just sitting there, and the power of God hits her. She rips her boot off, completely healed. She starts moving around. But here's the thing, guys, is that I remember how I said, we're going to bring you back before the accident. Well, she had gained a little bit of weight from the moment that happened to, we're talking about 20 years. So 20 years of weight came off of her. And she was holding out her pants like this. She wasn't running around the building. There's no point in running around the building, because we're not trying to do anything in the natural, because the spirit realm trumps the natural realm. So there's really no point in running around. We could try to activate it by faith. And it'll happen. If you run on a treadmill, you'll eventually lose weight. But in what we're talking about is supernatural manifestation. So there is no action that you need to take in order for it to happen. Because in the glory, it's a realm of rest. Say rest. In that dimension, you're not trying. In that realm, you're speaking. And whatever you say, it has to be. So Paul says here, no. It's the successive ages, structures, economical, governmental, material, and every single period in human history. That means when Paul was in his age and period, he stepped into that word and created a world. When Smith Wigglesworth was in his age, in his period, he stepped in and framed up his world and saw that world materialize in this one. When William Branham was ministering with the angel of the Lord, he stepped out of his natural world, which he knew, stepped into that world, stepped into the Word, and the Word stepped into him, and he created a new world. William Branham said that it wasn't the angel of the Lord that really was the key to his ministry. He said it was the ability for me to step aside and allow the Word to come in. The more that we yield to that world and his word, the more that the things in this natural structure in this world will begin to shift. Because we will begin to see from a higher dimension what God wants to create in a blueprint in heaven. And we will begin to speak it through his word. And the glory of God will get on our words, or his word will get on our words. And it will begin to frame that thing. Now, it's interesting because the word framed, in some translations, it's not even framed. It says made, which is gnomai, which means to be made out of nothing. But that's not the word. The word is not to be made out of nothing. Because in the realm of the spirit, that realm is not nothing. That realm is matter and substance that is more real than what you see. Even the very pew that you're sitting on isn't as real as the words that I'm speaking to you right now. The words that we are speaking have more substance than the bench that you're sitting on. That's why Jesus had the ability to walk on water. Because he said, oh, liquid? You're not liquid. You're solid. And he was able to walk across water because the liquid was no longer liquid. It was solid. Because he framed it in a word. And he said, no, you're not liquid. You're solid. And the water said, I'm solid. How many have ever heard of Maltari before? Has anybody ever heard of Maltari? He wrote a book, Like a Mighty Wind. He's like the sweetest guy I've ever met. He's just like humble. You know, most of the guys are really, really just humble. They're really the guys that are really moving in some stuff. And I just wanted to know, because there's a story where this mighty revival broke out in, I believe, 1965. And they were, a whole group of them were praying in a church, and they felt to go in witness or go to another village to pray for some people. The Spirit just told them, just there was a word that quickened them. Say quickened. It made them alive. It said go and preach over here. And they said, well, we can't go because there's this raging river. And God said, no, that's not a raging river. That river's solid. That water is a different matter. you can walk across that matter. So I wanted to know, I said, Mel, what was it like to walk on water? Because not only did he walk across water, but like 50 of them. Because they all got, he said, well, what happened is we all got into the mind of God, into the matter and the material of what God wanted to do. We took that blueprint out of heaven and we said, now we're going to take that blueprint and we're just going to walk across the water. But the interesting thing, I said, what was it like to walk across water? And he said, Brother Charlie, he's just real quiet. He said, Brother Charlie, God will make you walk anywhere if you win souls. I said, whoa. They walked across the water and then walked back again. They went and preached. Everybody in the village got saved. And then they said, well, we did it once. We might as well do it again. Woo! You're going to walk into some crazy situations. You're going to change the matter, the substance. Ooh. Now faith is substance. But the Bible says that God is faith. So in other words, the word is faith, which the Bible says that every man has been given a measure, or that light is on the inside of them. So every person has the ability to change matter. Oh. All it takes is a spoken word that has that breath. Say breath. Breath on it. There's the breath. When that breath comes on it, it becomes something living. That's why God said, he said, I'm going to breathe into Adam and I'm going to make him a living soul. A living soul. Living soul. Say living soul. Okay. As long as you... All right, I'm gonna go somewhere with you, and you're going to have to go with me. And just this may be contrary to what you've ever been taught, but just let me teach you something really quickly, okay? Your spirit man can see, but as long as you only see it in your spirit, it will never be framed on the earth. Your body is the part of you that is here that is the gridwork for this earth. Your soul is the part of you that has the ability to frame up the thing that you see in the spirit and pull it into this realm. Because your soul has the ability to go in between both dimensions. That's why the Bible says that your heart has eyes in it. When you see the word heart, imagination, and mind in the Word of God, it is not talking about, I got to be careful here. When you see the word mind, imagination, and heart, and Paul's talking about them, they're all interchangeable. That's why the Bible says that the pure in heart shall see God. The word right there is a word, that word see right there is edu. It's a word of knowledge. It's a knowledge that does not come from this dimension. It comes from a higher realm. So you see into that realm. And you, as your soul, that's why Paul said that you have to purify, or as your mind is renewed to the Word of God, not this, but is renewed to the Word of God, then you will begin to see more clearly, and you'll be able to pull what you see in the spirit through your soul and make it to manifest in the natural realm. The Bible says that your eyes have... Your heart has eyes, and your eyes have a heart. In other words, there is something that's beating life that you cannot see in the physical realm, but still has a life to it, has matter, has material. And so you can frame it, you can see it through your imagination. And the more pure that your imagination becomes, the more that God will take you into that realm of seeing and knowing, so that what you see in that dimension, you can pull into this one. That's why there's a great difference between healings and miracles. Healings take time. Miracles are instantaneous. When you see something in the realm of the spirit, you can pull it in, and what was going to be a healing will suddenly become a miracle. So instead of God healing your kidney, he gives you a brand new one. He can heal your kidney, or he could just give you a brand new one. You could have a cut on your hand that by the process of time could eventually be healed, although there may be a scar remaining. Or what God could do is have you see it in the realm of the spirit, pull it into this dimension, and the scar completely vanishes with the mark. It's not a healing of process and time, because you're living above time. You're living in it. Oh, paquero masata. So he could have used the word genomai, say genomai, which would have meant that it was called out of nothing. But that doesn't make that's not correct. What he used was a word called katatizo, which means to mend what was broken or rent, to repair, to fit out, equip, to put in order, arrange, or adjust. Say, what are you saying? Through faith, we understand, have knowledge. We've been brought into a realm where it's no longer a secret, but God's mystery has been revealed to us, and we have understanding that everything, every successive age and period in time, both social, economical, everything material was mended and brought back from being broken and repaired by a word. So what Paul was saying was that in your world, it doesn't matter what's broken, what's rent, because if you get his word in your world, and you allow his world to come into yours, then whatever is broken, rent, missing, even decaying, will be brought back into right standing, will be reframed by a word, by a spoken word, so that it doesn't matter if it's broken, if it's lying in darkness, because darkness has never dominated light. Light's natural ability is to dominate darkness. So in other words, when God's light of his word comes into the rent and broken situation in every successive age and period in human history, there have been those that stepped into that frame with his word and recreated a whole new world. Now there's been one or two or three or four in every generation that have stepped in. But I believe that God's calling an entire company to step in. I believe that God wants everyone to step in. I believe that God wants you to rise up, because the Bible says that the earnest expectation of all creation is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, what is happening is that everything is rent and broken and missing, and God says that the earnest expectation, every material that you see, every matter, is constantly creating a vibrational frequency and a sound, and is waiting for you to make a higher frequency and a vibration from a different dimension so that everything that is missing and broken and rent, no matter what it is, social, economical, governmental, material, has to be brought back in. Shakarabata. Has to be reframed so that it looks like the blueprint of a different dimension. Because as it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. God is looking for people that don't just pray that prayer, but they live that prayer because they've been embodied with that prayer because they are in that word. And so because they're a part of that word, they have the ability to recreate that world. That world, I feel it. You say, well, I don't like the government. Time to restructure it. How do you restructure it? You don't do it by getting a new president. No. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my world. You understand? Yeah. I'll leave your government out of it. I'll just talk about mine. There's enough jokes going around about mine. We can laugh all day about it. We don't change it by getting somebody new. We change it by creating a new world through words. So that we begin to live in a higher dimension. Ooh, pa. Nemo sata. So that you don't like what it's looking like. Suddenly something begins to shift because you took the words and the blueprint in the heavenly realm. And you made it to mirror down onto the earth. So that heaven and earth begin to look like the same thing. Because actually, we have a higher government than any earthly government. You say you don't like, well, I don't like sickness. Well, you got to frame it up. You got to step into it. I want you to turn with me one more place this morning. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Let's look at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast them all out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the temple, the tables and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Interesting. Prayer and church. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Imagine that, miracles. Anyways. A house of prayer and miracles in church. Okay, all right, moving right along here. And then the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna, son of David. And they were sore displeased. Have you ever been in those kind of meetings? Where they were angry about what was happening. They were like upset that like people were actually happy. Isn't it funny about religion? Religion gets so upset anytime people are happy. You can almost find where religion's at just by it saying, okay, I'm going to be happy. If they're mad, then you know, okay. It's a little bit of religion. If you just laugh a little bit. Sometimes I go into meetings and I just say, you laugh like this. Ha, ha, ho, ho, hee, hee. And people get so upset about that. Look at your neighbor and just say, ha-ha, ho-ho, hee-hee. Why are you laughing? That's how you laugh. No, I'm just kidding. What? I love church, you know, I love church. I grew up in church, you know. It was a good place. But I grew up in like a denomination, like a Pentecostal denomination, you know, like, praise God. Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor, high five. Tell him that God's got something for you today. I don't know what you came to do. I came to praise the Lord. That's what I grew up in. It was like normal. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but all right, hallelujah. And so I got really on fire when I was 18 years old, you know, just really just burning on fire. And I remember being in this meeting, and you know, like when you don't know what to do because you don't like know that some things are not like kosher for some places, you're just kind of like, you're just happy and on fire. You know, and then someone tries to come and take out your fire. They're like, you can't do that in here, boy. It's like, well, I didn't know. I've never been brought up in this. You know what I mean? So I'm in this meeting. And preacher's up there preaching, and he says, somebody needs to do something that you've never done before. He didn't say it exactly like that. He said it more like this. He's like, somebody in here needs to do something that you've never done before. More like that. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. So, you know, I had ran in church and people were running. You always had the old grandma that had the side of the pew, and she's like, yes! You had the deaconesses who are female deacons who would kind of like grab arms around and form a circle Miss Shout a Lot, because what she would do is she would like shout, and you never knew which direction she was going in, so you didn't want her to get hurt, so they would actually like corral her like this. And she's like, wah! So I said, wait a minute, Miss Shout a Lot, you do that every single week. When he does that, you know, and so suddenly this idea came into my head to do like cartwheels down the aisle of the church. He said, do something I've never done before. So I was just like, okay. And then so I started rolling down the aisle like, wow. Suddenly I get to the end and I feel myself being lifted off the ground. And I'm levitating, I'm flying. And then I realized it was two ushers had picked me up and were carrying me out of the meeting. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, man, you can't do that in church. And I said, he told me to do something I've never done before. So religion's crazy, right? Religion's crazy. They'll have you do, they'll tell you don't do that, don't do this, you know? Something about when Jesus gets on a pure heart. Childlike faith begins to be activated. And you know, it's interesting because we see a lot of crazy things, you know? And I went to this Bible school that was that place with the church, and wonderful people, but they all thought I was nuts. In fact, I had a nickname in Bible college. They called me Holy Ghost. That was my actual nickname. I was like, that's a very good nickname. Thank you very much. I will receive that. But do you know that those same people that were like, wow, that guy's crazy, now call me all the time, and they're asking me, how does this happen? And you know what I tell them? I say, you remember that one time when I was rolling down the aisle and they carried me out, they said, well, how do these miracles happen? I mean, how do they happen? We want to know. We want to know the formula. I said, do you remember that time I was rolling down the aisle? I said, if you do that, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. So anytime God breaks out, there's always this thing, you know, where the religion tries to put you in a box. But look at this. And they said unto him, verse 16, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto him, yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Circle that word perfected right there. That word perfected is the word katatizo, which means to rent, to mend that which has been lying in darkness or broken in despair. So in other words, when you get childlike faith and you begin to praise him and you begin to do it not out of this but out of here, that praise begins to go up as a mystery or a mysterion in the realm of the spirit, and God inhales that praise. And he exhales his glory. In other words, he inhales your prayer. Because prayer and praise go together. He inhales it and he exhales the answer down into your life. And the thing that was broken, that was out of whack, suddenly comes in to the world that God had created for you. A woman by the name of Ruth Ward Heflin said, you praise until the spirit of worship comes. You worship until the spirit of glory comes. And then out of the glory you begin to speak. That is exactly what happened last night. Because the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. So what took place, created atmosphere, an environment, and a climate where his glory was able to begin to breed a supernatural, world, frame it above us, and then as we praised, as we shouted, as we lifted up our voice in childlike splendor and love for God, God brought that world and that blueprint and made it to come down and materialize in the earth. So that people that haven't heard in 20 years suddenly, people that didn't have eardrums are suddenly hearing. Because we put it in the word. What I believe is coming on the earth is not just, you know, the one-man show. Praise God for the one-man show, right? But what I believe is coming, that we're going to see the greatest outbreaks, is when we come into one mind and one accord, and we begin to create that perfected or katatizo praise and worship unrestrained, where we're not coming in, and there were no spectators last night. It was like we all came into one. And so what the blueprint of heaven and what God wanted to do in the realm of the spirit, that blueprint came and rested on the earth with ease, without effort. And we just took testimonies, just boom, 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 one after another, as it was just happening, as people tapped into the katatizo praise, as they tapped into that dimension, as they went into that world, as suddenly that world became real to them, to where they said, oh my goodness, I don't have any pain anymore. The pain's gone. I can bend. I can do this. I can, what, did I lay hands on you? No, I didn't. No one laid hands on you? No, only Jesus touched me. Because you're creating the mind of God to rest over the meeting. And one person cannot do that. Somebody can bring in an anointing and they can see things. But when we're talking about creating a corporate glory or a canopy, you cannot do that with one person. You have to bring everyone into that right mind and that right blueprint. And as it begins to be framed up, then that world begins to come down to the earth. I honestly believe, and I'm going to say this, and this is what I believe with all my heart. I believe that we have an opportunity in this generation. God was either going to do it one of two ways. He's either going to do it the way he's always done it in the past, or this generation is going to step into the Isaiah 60, where the Bible says, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And verse 8 says, who are these who fly like clouds, like doves to their windows? In other words, they were transfigured or transformed in the very image of the glory of God, where they started looking like the cloud and they started looking like the dove. And there's a corporate body, I believe, that God is looking for that will transfer out of the former, that former model. And they will move into this other one. That it doesn't really matter who has this. You understand? Because everyone is participating to create a whole new world. So that it won't just rest in the meetings. Because it can. It will rest over individual life. It will rest over someone. It will. It will. If you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're desperate, I'm telling you, it says the pure in heart will see God. So if you're desperate, hungry, and thirsty for him, then it will happen in your life. And you will give testimony to what God does in your life. But what God is saying is he doesn't want to just have it for one person. He's saying, no, I want my whole corporate body to step into this. Because the body of Christ has been placed on the earth to take dominion over the earth. To steward the earth, to mend and repair, to replenish the earth. And so God is looking for an entire corporate body of believers that will say, God, I want to step into your frame. And I'm willing to work alongside my brothers and my sisters to create that praise so that we can see whole cities shaken. We can see whole cities changed by the glory of God, where it begins to mirror the heavens. Now, one person can do that. Peter did it in the book of Acts. John G. Lake did it in Spokane, Washington, where people were not sick in the sphere and because of his influence of the glory that rested over one individual's life. But what would it look like if a corporate body came together and began to create a canopy of the glory of God and began to bring that cloud? And the culmination of what everyone had walked in the previous generation, bring it into this generation and see the heavenly realm manifested and materialed on the earth. It's one thing to see in the heavens. It's another thing to bring the heavens in the earth. Let's lift our hands this afternoon. Father, I thank you for Melbourne. I thank you. I thank you. Oh, my God, my son, the levremity. Well, just stand. Just stand. Just stand. If you can. Some of you have been in the wrong frame. The wrong frame of mind. The wrong thinking. It's time to frame up a new mind. Your mind frames are going to change. Your mindsets are going to be transformed. Something greater. There's something bigger that we're stepping out of our frame and into His. Just start releasing just that frequency, that vibration right out of your mouth right now. Just start releasing that. Father, we just step into your frame of mind. Just step into his frame of mind right now. Step out of your world and into his world. Start framing up. God, we step into your mind frame, into your frame of your mind. Father, we ask you to begin to release the blueprint, that corporate glory, that corporate mind. Over Melbourne, over your body. Father, we thank you that your body has the mind of Christ, the Word of God, that living organism, that mind. And we step into your mind frame, your frame of thought, God, and we begin to decipher and distinguish your mind for our life. Father, right now we put it in a word. We put healing in a word. Right now we put prosperity in a word. Right now we put, oh my nena mostori meshti karabo stoto. We put joy in a word. Oh, oh. Lord, we put new cells in a word. Father, we put our blood in your word. Begin to release that all across this place.